bunch, just a little scaly, scabby, dry spot. You find it one day by accident when you're scratching your head. You come across it as if by good luck. Whoa, what's this? A scab. Hot shit. A scab. I love fucking scabs. This is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to pick off my scab and look at it. Oh boy, oh boy. I can't wait to pick off my scab and place it down on a contrasting material such as a black velvet tablecloth in order to see it in greater relief. Oh boy, oh boy. I can't wait to pick off my scab. This is going to be a lot of fun. Wait just a minute. It's not ready to come off yet. It's immature. It's still not ripe. It's not ready for plucking. I'll save this for Thursday. Thursday will be a good day. I have only half a day of work on Thursday. I'll come home early, masturbate in the kitchen, wash the floor, and then I'll watch the Montel Williams show. And while I do, I'll pick off my scab. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I can't wait to pick off my scab. This is going to be a lot of fun. So you wait. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you try not to knock it off by accident with the little plastic comb you bought in the vending machine at the Easy Living Motel when you hooked up with the two skanky-looking chicks who gave you the clap that night. And now, finally, Thursday arrives. It's harvest time. Harvest time on the top of your head. So you come home early, and you masturbate, but you do it in your sister's bedroom just to give it a little extra thrill, know what I mean? Then you shampoo the rug, and you watch the Montel Williams show. Pretty interesting topic. Women who take it up the ass for 50 cents. Not the best show he's ever done, but you know something? Not bad either. And now it's time. Time to go get this little scab. But you want to proceed carefully. You want to pry this thing off slowly and evenly around the perimeter of the scab so that it lifts off all in one piece. You don't want it to break into pieces. Who needs a fragmented scab? Not me. I don't need parts that badly. I'm not that disturbed. What you really want, what you really need, what you really must have is a complete whole scab you can set down, study, make notes on, and perhaps write a series of penetrating articles for Scab Aficionado magazine. Who knows? You might rise to the top of the scab world in a big hurry. It's a small community, and they need people at the top. And so you proceed, with a single fingernail extended, always choosing your best peeling and scraping nail, you find your way through the thicket of hair and locate the target. You make a careful initial probe, and surprisingly, the prey yields easily, coming off all in one piece. And you lift it off carefully, through the hair, and position it on the tip of your picking finger. And you look at the little thing, so pathetic there on your finger, isolated, alone, out of its environment. And your heart begins to melt. So you take your new friend carefully between thumb and forefinger and gently place it back on your head, setting it loose in the wild. And you feel the better man. You're in harmony with your body. Think of it as catch and release. While we Americans have been busy creating politically correct euphemisms for old people, thereby making their lives infinitely easier, we've also been working on our poor people language problem. And we now have language that takes all the pain out of being poor. Having no money these days is easier than ever. I can remember when I was young that poor people lived in slums. Not anymore. These days, the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. It's so much nicer for them. And yet they're still considered socially marginal. But as it turns out, many of these socially marginal people receive public assistance, once known as welfare. Before that, it was called being on relief or being on the dole. And at that time, being on the dole was the worst thing you could say about a family. They're on the dole. People were ashamed. It was tough to get a date if you were on the dole. But public assistance, that sounds good. Who of us hasn't benefited from some form of public assistance? Even huge businesses and agricultural interests receive public assistance. Ditto all the wealthiest taxpayers. So apparently, there's no shame attached to being on the dole after all. In this country, about the only thing worse than having no money is having no place to live. And over the years, those with no place to live have had many different names. Vagrants, tramps, hobos, drifters, and transients come to mind. Which name applied to a person sometimes depended on his, God, this is difficult to say, lifestyle. There, it's out. But can having no place to live actually be a lifestyle? Well, it seems to me that if you're going to use a questionable word like lifestyle at all, you should be forced to use it across the board. After all, if there's a gay lifestyle, which I doubt, and a suburban lifestyle, which seems more arguable, it stands to reason there must be a homeless lifestyle. And even, one would assume, a prison lifestyle. Indeed, is it possible that those doomed souls in places like Buchenwald were actually enjoying a concentration camp lifestyle?